Provoke us, Lord God, to sow your truth into our lives, that it would take root, that it would sprout, and that it would yield a harvest. And provoke us also, Lord God, to starve our flesh, to not feed that which would cause us to have inner turmoil and doubt your promises. Because we do indeed want to increasingly become love, that we want to, Lord God, by your Spirit, by your grace, we want to fulfill the great commandment to love you, the Lord our God, with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that we, Lord God, would not be in bondage to fear that would keep us from loving everyone at all times. Our neighbor is whoever is near to us, wherever we are at the time. Help us to be so aware of our sealed destiny and all that you have afforded us, that we would be filled with confidence to love liberally, to be about expressing it, that people would taste and see that you are good, and that people, Lord God, would see us as credible witnesses that can share the salvation plan to them. We praise you and we love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is going to drive me absolutely batty because my lapel mic is not working. The transmitter is broken and I am going to have a hard time staying here. So, if I move away from here, I'm just going to talk louder. I want you to understand that. So if you want to listen to it later on online, it'll sound like this, and then it'll sound like this back and forth a little bit, just so everybody knows it. I was in my quiet time a couple days ago. I'm reading through the Bible again, and I'm using the Bible Project to do that. Again, just a reminder, all you got to do is do a Google search on your phone and put in BibleProject.org, and there will be an app that you can download. It's free. It's called the Read Scripture app. Not only does it help you read through the Bible throughout the year, but there are video lessons that have an overview of every single book and also key theological concepts, explanations of covenants, all of those types of things. It's an awesome resource to take advantage of. Well, as I'm reading through Exodus, I'm in Exodus chapter 3, and there's the part where God says to Moses, I am with you, and when you lead these people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. And it struck me. And I got excited because I realized there was a prophetic application that he was giving me to give to you, my family. Because he wasn't, in the application, he's not talking just specifically to Moses. Because we have a priesthood of believers in here right now. We're part of a royal priesthood. And so we have the opportunity as we become love to lead people out of their captivity, just as the Israelites were led out of their captivity. And as they are led out of their captivity, they will worship God on this mountain right here. So I want you to own that truth as a prophetic application. We know what the initial interpretation is, but the scripture has many The scripture has one interpretation, but it can have many applications. And as long as we know the right context, it's okay to apply something, because God does speak prophetic and personal applications through Old Testament passages, doesn't he? And we have pictures through people's lives and their experiences that when we get into the New Testament, Jesus actually gives commentary on those things in order that we can take those things and apply them to our lives now. So I got really excited about that. Here we are, we're in the book of Daniel still. We are still in Daniel chapter 7. We're toward the middle of it. This is after Daniel has had his his dream, and he's been given explanation and interpretation by the angel. And now we're at a part in the passage where he's beginning to talk about the reality of Antichrist in the last days. And that's what we're going to be talking about. The name of our message, well, I got a theme, and then I got a kind of a sub-theme. It's dominion demonstrates deity. Demonstrate means to clearly show existence of by giving proof or evidence. Dominion, the way that we're going to apply it, authority to expand Jesus' jurisdiction in this world. And so as we understand the dominion, the authority that we possess, the keys to the kingdom that we possess, as we are increasingly walking in confidence and dealing with that stuff that chips away at our confidence, then our lives are going to demonstrate deity to people. The reality of their desperate need for God, that we are powerless to manage our lives apart from God. And so Daniel, right now in the passage, picking up in Daniel 7:19, he's asking the angel in the dream about Antichrist. Because in the dream, he is seeing that Antichrist is so totally different than the other leaders that he's encountered in the past. And it's pretty unsettling. So in 7:19, it says, "Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others." And if you want more information on the fourth beast, you need to go back and you need to listen to those teachings. So you can go to our website and they're there. Just go to www.churchoftollhouse.org, hit the listen online link, go to messages for 2019, some of them 2018, and then you can get some more information that'll help you be brought up to speed. "I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and the meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn." What did I just say? This is Antichrist. Who is it? And it's okay. Go and study. Look at things, but be careful what you're studying, though, because there's a lot of good stuff on the web, and there's a lot of whack stuff on the web that will toss you around like by with every wind of doctrine, just like the scripture says. So you might want to check with me or somebody that you trust if the stuff that you're looking at is reputable stuff. "The meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn which came up and before which of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts." Jesus is going to give commentary on this in 2 Thessalonians. I'll share that passage in a minute. "Which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them." He was what? That's a little bit unsettling. But then we transition into a woohoo moment. Because we get into verse 22, "until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom." This is yet future. Larger. That means that this world leader, this Antichrist, we've had many Antichrists. The Bible speaks to that. We've had the spirit of Antichrist. But there will be a figure yet future that is Antichrist. He commands more influence, more respect, instills more fear, is alluring, is seducing. And what Daniel was talking about in that passage, again in 2 Thessalonians, these are the words penned by Paul from the Holy Spirit, which are the words of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. He says, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come." What's he talking about? He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. "That will not come until the apostasy comes first." What's the apostasy? That is a defection or a desertion from the truth. We are seeing that in our days. There are people that are so temporally oriented, so experience oriented, they've been duped by so much deception that they are saying, "I don't believe this anymore. I don't think, According to the scriptures, I do believe in eternal security. I believe that once you are in the palm of God's hand, according to the Gospel of John, you can't be snatched out. I don't think you can lose your salvation, but I think there are people that give it away, which means that they were never truly saved in the first place. And so he says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come until the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. We have had pictures of this in the past through actual people. Okay? Antiochus Epiphanes in the past, who was overthrown during the Maccabean revolt. He is a picture of this, which is going to happen yet future. And again, Daniel is going to speak to this more directly when we get into the passage later on, verses 23 through 27. So Daniel wants more information about that which is demonic. We have an unhealthy fascination and curiosity. That's the reason why we slow down at car accidents. That's the reason why when tragedy happens, sometimes people flock to tragedy. Okay? And some of that is rooted in the reality that Satan wants us to be seduced and preoccupied by fear, because he knows in our brokenness that we want to control circumstances. And so instead of turning to Jesus Christ, we start running around like chickens with our heads caught off, trying to figure out all this information and how we can somehow control this feeling and overcome our fear on our own, when we realize that we don't have to. It's focusing on our destiny that's going to give us the ability to overcome that which seems disastrous in our lives. And so he wants to know more information about the demonic that's causing him distress. The angel is repetitive through this whole passage as we finish out Daniel chapter 7, reminding Daniel of the destiny of the saint, of the called out one, the believer. Three verses in this passage. Listen to this. Verse 18, Daniel chapter 7. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages to come. That's the future fullness of the kingdom. We experience in part now. There will be one day that we experience it in its fullness. We will no longer be hindered by the brokenness and the stain of sin that causes us to have duplicity within us, hypocrisy, where our desires don't match up with our deeds. And guess what? We all struggle with that. Every single one of us. Hence the process of relationship and discipleship to close the gap, so that we won't have our confidence chipped away by that duplicity that we struggle with, so that we can actually experience the fullness of God's love and then express the fullness of God's love. Next verse, verse 22, chapter 7. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. There's two times that it's said in the passage. You think that the Holy Spirit, under the direction of God, is trying to affirm Daniel in this passage of Scripture also, as he's dealing with visions that are very troubling? Because these are troubling things, and he'll say it's incredibly troubling, but those troubling thoughts can transition and transform into triumphant thoughts as long as we're thinking about our destiny. Third one, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness, this is verse 27 of chapter 7, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people, the saints of the highest one, and his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. Wow. If I'm focusing on that reality, if it's Jesus that purchased me that reality, then guess what? I can deal with the difficult in the day-to-day. Like we talked about in the beginning. You know what? Peace. Peace I give to you, Jesus said. Not as the world gives. What's peace? Wholeness. What is it? So I do not experience God's wholeness apart from him. That's what was purchased for me through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. It's found only in relationship. I am broken. I am a broken person.
Everybody's broken. And the people that don't admit it are actually the most broken. And it's only in relationship with Jesus Christ that I experience wholeness. And so when Jesus said, "Peace I give you," he's saying, "I give you wholeness." So you keep listening to me. You keep talking to me. You keep sowing that truth into your life. And you're going to experience that wholeness. It's awesome.
And in this world, you're going to have a whole heck of a lot of trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world, because I give you wholeness. I give you peace. Just some reminders. Here's a principle. Sowing and starving secures sense of destiny and disciples us into dominion. What the heck do I mean by that? Go back a couple weeks when Robert Lawrence was here and was talking about the two dogs illustration. A lot of us have heard it. We've got two dogs living inside of us, a white dog and a black dog. I've heard this for 20, 30 years, something like that. Well, not 30 because I haven't been a believer for 30, but 20 years. And so which dog's going to win the fight? The dog that you feed. So I want everybody to think about this. If I'm sowing the truth into my life continually, that's awesome, because what happens is I process it, I digest it, it becomes a part of me, so that in certain situations, boom, the Holy Spirit brings to mind that which I can use to deal with whatever particular predicament I find myself in at that time. To bring me back to the reality of my destiny instead of what's disastrous all around me. But have you ever noticed this, that even when you're in a season where you're sowing, even if you're feeding your flesh just a little bit, there's still turmoil, isn't there? There's still struggle. And so we need to begin practicing again, and a lot of people would call this legalism, and it's not. We need to start starving our flesh. We need to start starving that which causes us inner turmoil and keeps us from being able to experience the confidence of being able to experience and express love. And we need help, and we need accountability, and it needs to be done in love. It's not going to be a bunch of, you know, rules and check marks and proclamations the way the church tried to do it throughout its history. No, it's the reality of talking about our destiny, and I don't want to be sowing into my life that which is going to hinder me from being able to experience my purpose and my destiny. That's the perspective that we need to own it from. That's the love perspective of it. Daddy wants what's best for us, and he doesn't want us to miss out on it. We need to take it from that perspective. So, in that, back in verse 21 of chapter 7, talked about the fact that this Antichrist is going to be overpowering the saints. Some passages say that this conspicuous horn is going to overpower the saints. Well, I want everybody to remember that this supposedly prevailing conspicuous horn will be prevailed upon. Remember the keys that we've been given? I'm revisiting Matthew. Oh my gosh, I forgot to put the reference down. Do you have it up there? Or is it just the verses? Oh, there we go. Chapter 16. I don't have it in my notes. Thank you for having that up there. So this was Jesus' conversation with Peter and the disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," Simon, son of Jonah, "because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the only Savior, that he is God in human flesh, that it's only he that is the acceptable sacrifice for our sins, and you have embraced that, that did not come from man. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you. Okay? Verse 18, "I also say to you that you are Peter, you're this little stone, and upon this rock," confession of faith, upon this confession of faith, "you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not," what? "Will not prevail against it, will not overpower it," depending on the translation, "and I will give you the keys." Keys are authority. What are they? "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." A couple words you want to look at. The word rock means huge mass of rock. It means foundational stone that you build a house upon. That's what it means. And then when it says gates, that means an exit, that and that which proceeds out of it. So there are the influences and the forces of hell under the direction of Satan that are coming out of this exit, and we have the strength to keep them from coming out of the exit. When it says give, the construction of that word means absolutely and generally. That means we can be absolutely confident when we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that we have authority in Christ. And then it says generally, so it just wasn't them. It means that all those who are disciples even until today, absolutely and generally. And so sometimes we're listening to the wrong voice, as we know. Sometimes tragedies come several at a time. You know, back during the bubonic plague, see, I don't feel so bad with all the stuff that I've dealt with lately, because there was a pastor during the bubonic plague that was doing 50 funerals a day. Who sustained him? God sustained him. So no matter how much is converging upon us, he will sustain us, but we have to stay destiny-oriented and not disaster-oriented. Because we have spiritual weapons. When we're disaster-oriented, we'll try to use earthly weapons to deal with this stuff. Whining, complaining, going to have wound-licking sessions with our brothers and sisters, instead of realizing, oh my gosh, he's going to be with me. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. In the fire, I'm with you. When the waves pound you, I'm with you. That this stuff is not going to break me. This stuff is going to make me. It's making me the go-to guy. It's making you the go-to guy. It's making you the go-to gal. And when everybody else is fretting and freaking out and running around like a chicken with their head cut off, he's good. Abba's good. He's with us and he loves us. And yeah, we might get really, really hurt physically and even emotionally here, but he sealed my destiny, and there's going to come a day that I'm going to know as I am known, and he'll wipe away all of my tears, and he'll take away all of my sorrow, and I'll just be worshiping all the time. And that's what keeps me going. That gives me the ability to keep moving forward. So even when we feel like we are losing, we're actually winning. Even if it feels like the enemy's prevailing, persevere, because ultimately the enemy will be prevailed upon. Hell will not surpass the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, and also the commonwealth of Israel together will not, those who will eventually one day embrace Messiah. Hell will not surpass the ecclesia in strength because of its source, Jesus Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. So the war's won, but I believe that we can win more battles, because we need to use the keys to the kingdom, not so much to deal with the evil out there, although we can use it for that, but we need to deal with the keys to the kingdom to deal with the duplicity and the stuff that's out of alignment in here. This is where the growth starts happening. When I know God loves me so much and accepts me in the beloved that I don't have a problem with admitting my weaknesses and my brokenness, that's when the real stuff grows. What a privilege that is, that kind of stuff, I don't have to hide behind the fear of whether or not somebody is going to reject me or not accept me because of my brokenness. I can allow God to redeem it, and he can shine his light through the cracks in my brokenness, and that's A-okay. I'm all right with that. My name is Rob. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am broken, and I struggle, and I've self-medicated with all kinds of satanic substitutes, and I will admit that because I am accepted in the beloved, and Satan can't use that against me anymore. That's the liberation we can have. Every single person in this room. When we don't deal with it, it erodes our confidence to walk in authority. Daniel 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be like a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. Verse 24, as for the ten horns out of this, so he's going over some of the same stuff, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise and another will arise after it, and he will be different from all the previous ones and will subdue the three kings. Verse 25, emphasizing what we read in 2 Thessalonians, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. How many people feel worn in here? How many people feel worn out? Monday morning, I was exhibiting symptoms of burnout. I'll admit it to you guys. And then, funny story, one day, a cat that we have hits our screen door, and it was trying to get in the house, and I said, that ain't going to happen. And immediately, my wife had a PTSD response. Whereas, oh my gosh, what text did we get now? What happened now? What are we going to have to go deal with? I get them too. How many of you guys get that stuff where the next thing you're kind of looking over your shoulder waiting for the next shoe to drop? What's going to happen here? And so, but the cool thing is I can recognize it. I can recognize when I'm starting to feel depleted. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do. And so then I have my quiet times and I'm sharing with my brothers on Thursday morning. We're going through 1 Thessalonians and it says the Word of God works effectively in those that believe. And so in my humanity, I have no natural strength left. And you know, guys know how it is when you have no natural strength yet left. It's like a nuclear warhead could go off and you don't give a rip. I got nothing. But I'm having time with Papa, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where's this energy coming from? And I come in on Wednesday and I'm thinking, man, I really don't want to be in Awana tonight. I don't. I don't know if I have the patience for it. I had a blast. I had so much fun being able to share with the kids that are there. That's what God does. When we got absolutely nothing left because we're sowing into our lives and we're choosing to starve our flesh, we find a power source that doesn't exist apart from staying connected to Him. That's what we need in these last days. That's what we need to prioritize in these last days. And so, verse 24, the ten horns out of the kingdom, ten kings will arise, another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones, and he will subdue three kings. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and law. He's going to try to change the fundamental way we do things. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away. Revelation 19, 20. Annihilated and destroyed forever, going through the rest of the book of Revelation. Remember, we're seeing things condensed when we see these prophetic verses. So you get a verse that might cover hundreds of years, some thousands of years sometimes. It's kind of like our dreams, right? You know, when I've had a dream from the Lord, I have a dream where all of a sudden I know the interpretation of all this stuff, and so I wake up the next day thinking it's going to happen tomorrow. And then 20 years later, there's still realities of this vision that he's given me that are coming into play. That's the way it was for Daniel and the prophets too when they received stuff. Sometimes they were receiving stuff that it was going to happen right then. Some of it wasn't going to happen for years. Some of what was happening right then was going to be a picture of what was going to happen years later. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms ever under heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His dominion will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. So in that passage, we're going to see that Antichrist will revolutionize or de-Christianize the fundamental way that we do things. Quick example, during the French Revolution, there was an Antichrist spirit there, just like there has been in a lot of different movements throughout history. But the powers that be attempted to change the calendar. Why would they want to attempt to change the calendar? What's our calendar based on? Before Christ and in the year of our Lord. Yeah, so try to change the calendar and then try to institute a 10-day work week. Whew! That's what Antichrist is going to try to do. He's going to alter the fundamental way that we do things. But those of us that have received dominion in part, we can consider our down payment and we can carry confidence that we are going to experience dominion and full. Yeah, we don't have it all now because it's hindered by our duplicity that God is working out of us through sanctification. If you need to know what I mean by that, come up and talk to me afterwards. But nonetheless, there will come a day that we experience that dominion in full. We go back to the Old Testament, Joshua 1:3. Interestingly, remember Joshua, that's actually Jesus' name. So there was a, Joshua provided a picture of some of the realities of Jesus' character. And as they were supposed to go into the promised land, he said, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I have spoke to Moses. That word given, similar to what I said a little while ago, you can have certainty that it's been given to you. We've been given dominion, not dominion the negative way that comes to mind when we think of some things like manifest destiny and trampling people in order to secure that which is yours. We've been given dominion in the Holy Spirit to extend the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. The manifest presence of God, that people can clearly observe the reality of God in our community. That's the dominion we've been given. And this complements it, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him, Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Someday we are going to be ushered into dominion. And that word dominion can be translated absolute construct. We will be ushered into the absolute construct of the kingdom. No longer hampered or hindered by this disintegrating hypocrisy that we struggle with. Spurgeon said, whatever Christ hath done, he hath wrought for the whole body of his church. We were crucified in him and buried with him. And to make it still more wonderful, we are risen with him and even ascended with him to seats on high. There will come a day that we will be whisked away to the unhindered, unobstructed fullness of the kingdom of God. And again, destiny diminishes distress. Last verse. Daniel 7:28, he says, at this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, and I kept the matter to myself. He was overwhelmed by what he saw, what was going to play out in history. Why were his thoughts greatly troubled? He was seeing the ferocity of the attacks that would come against his people from that conspicuous horn. Sometimes that's what we see, and it's okay for us to notice it. We see the trials that some of our loved ones are facing. We see the tragedies that some of our loved ones are facing. And then we need to remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 56:8. Because we have this tender heart, it's okay for us to empathize and hurt for people. We have this tender heart, and it says that God actually understands that he's with us. He stores our tears in his bottle, that he keeps a record of them in his book. He understands. But again, what we don't want to do is we don't want to be so distracted by the pain that we get derailed. We need to stay destiny focused. We need to help each other stay destiny focused. And we need to remember too that Daniel did not possess the luxury of the details that we have about our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 11. For God is not destined, has not fixed, has not assigned, has not recorded us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we're alive or dead, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are now doing. It's the recognition of Jesus telling the truth, isn't it? Sometimes people become disaster-oriented, and they're like, why would God allow this to happen? Why would this? You know what? Jesus is just telling the truth, isn't he?
He said, in this world, you're going to have a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of ugly stuff happen. There's going to be the spirit of Antichrist. There's eventually going to be an Antichrist. There's going to be all of those things. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And no amount of suffering that we face on this earth, and doesn't mean that we shouldn't be empathetic, we shouldn't be kind, we shouldn't be compassionate, we should be tactful, we should be all of those things. But no amount of suffering will compare to the indescribable glory that we will experience in His presence. So what's the issue that I believe? Well, Jesus spoke to some religious rulers in Mark chapter 12, verse 24, and I think we should take this to heart. Where do we fall short? It says, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. I'm talking about experiential knowledge. I'm not talking about, you know what, I went to Awana and I memorized this verse. Bible memorization is awesome, but it's not an end of itself. There's a purpose for it, to know Him. To know the power of the resurrection. And this is what we need for these days. Sowing and starving secures a sense of destiny. It disciples us into dominion. John Owen said years ago, be killing sin or it will be killing you. So we need to use the keys, the authority to kill sin. Sow to the spirit, but also starve the flesh. Because sowing to the flesh, it infects the integrity of the soul. Satan's desire is to disintegrate us. God is the one who integrates, who makes us whole. So how do we kill sin? We have to starve it. That's what we have to do. We have to increasingly starve it. We have to understand that when God says in the scriptures, like Paul said, and I believe that I'm using this verse rightfully, I understand the context of it, but he says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So there can be some things, some choices that we make, and it doesn't have to necessarily be big, pervasive things. We know that we don't want to feed our soul with things that are obviously pervasive. But also, anything that is going to condition us into being emotion-oriented, drive-oriented, desire-oriented, these are all beautiful things, drives and desires that God has given us as long as we use them in their proper context. But once we become fixed on them and they're that which is governing our lives, that's when we start entering into those destructive cycles in our lives. And so we have to make the choice to start starving our flesh. Because when that little black dog, when it is not getting anything to eat, yeah, it might be mean and rabid for a while, but eventually it's just going to lay down. And it's going to give up. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Right? I came across this quote. Can't remember who it's from, but it says, this is sanctification. Sanctification is the process we enter into by which God shrinks within us the gap of hypocrisy between word and deed. Colossians 3:15. This will probably be our number one key verse for the year that I will use and remind us with. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ do what? Be the umpire. Have the final say in your decisions. How can we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? Sowing to the Spirit, starving the flesh. Remember, peace is wholeness when all the essential parts are joined together. And then when we're experiencing the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, then we get to give that gift away. Oh, let me give you some of the wholeness that's been given to me. Let me give you some of the wholeness that's been given to me. And then you go to somebody else. Let me give you the wholeness that's been given to me. It can only be found here.
Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. What's our heart? Those are our decisions, our desired decisions that establish who we really are. That's our heart. And so, that's my simple challenge for all of us. As we're helping one another allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, then we're going to mobilize into this community, and we're going to be giving that peace away. We're going to be giving that wholeness away. That's my purpose, and I believe that that's our purpose this year. Because you know what, folks? I don't know when we're going to get a reprieve. I'm sure we will. We'll get a reprieve from some of the hard stuff that's been happening. But I've just been seeing this stuff ramp up. And I don't know, you know, I'm not going to make an adamant prophetic statement, but I don't want my joy stolen because of the reality of being in a difficult time. So I'm not going to stand here and say that, you know what, another week or 2 weeks, this ain't going to be difficult anymore. Well, what if it is? What if something else does happen tomorrow? What if I do get that text? What if you get that text? What if we get that phone call tomorrow? Does it have to derail us? Does it really have to derail us? It doesn't. But it really does boil down to choices. It does. Spirituality is a choice. Good, small, smart choices over a long period of time reap big dividends in our lives. I love Holy Ghost experiences. I have them. But you want to know something? If I'm not having them, that doesn't mean my faith's been derailed. Because faith is a choice. And there's too much in there already that absolutely solidifies and put the exclamation mark on it that this is absolute truth and I cannot back away from it. Just like Jesus said to the disciples, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life. So that's where I'm going. And that's where I'm going to keep going. If I get that phone call tomorrow, you get that phone call tomorrow. I get that text tomorrow, you get that text tomorrow. Holy Spirit, show me how I can be love in this situation. Show me how I can become love in this situation. And if I'm not called into this situation, show me how I can be love and become love in another situation. Because that's a faith expression. That's making a choice in alignment with God's word. And if so, if I'm depleted and I have nothing else left and I obey something that Jesus Christ has laid out through his word, then guess what? I get re-energized. Because the word of God works effectively in those that believe. I know that she doesn't want any attention drawn to her, but there's Cary Grant right there. You know that she has such intimacy with the Father, and because she's a PK, she cuts me some slack. She gives me a break. She understands sometimes that there's people that they want you to be their Jesus, and you can't be, you know? And so, you know, she's incredibly encouraging, and so is Gary. Gary walks up to me and always says, I'm going to make sure I say God bless you to you because you need to hear it too. But the other day, she gets a prognosis that she's got this widowmaker thing going on in her chest. She's like 5% away from being dead. I didn't know about it till after it happened.
Me neither.
Yeah. But you know what? She let me know after it happened. And was she like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I can die tomorrow. You know what? Joy of the Lord. There's the joy of the Lord right there. You know what? We're all on borrowed time. Every single one of us. So let's focus on that which gives us the ability to redeem it and make the best of it instead of that which is going to take us out of the game. I don't want to be out of the game. I've spent too many seasons in my life where I've been out of the game too much. I don't want to be there. Okay? We've been given too much. And in whatever way, Holy Spirit, show my family how we are going to use our gifts, talents, abilities, and acquired experiences to become love in this community. And as we're praying on Friday with the elders, you know what God is? We can't outgive God. We've had some tough times, but you know what? He's been so good to us financially, and so we're praying. We ask you to pray with us. With this that you've given us, how can we use this so that we can give this community something to rally around? How? So be praying with us. But we want to make sure that it's not presumptuous. It's not that we're going to take a bunch of stuff, you know, ball it up and throw it against the wall and see what's going to stick. We want it to come from the Lord. But I do believe that our best days are in front of us. But it all depends on our attitude. It really does. Deuteronomy 33:27, and then Rob will be quiet. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. Let's pray. And Father, I just pray that the reality of that truth will undergird us this week, and that we will not be circumstance and situation oriented. It may shake us a little bit. We may struggle with it, and that's okay, but it's what we do with it after the shaking. It's where we go with it. So help us to come right back to you. Help us to stay destiny oriented. We need to be, and we can't be without you. We praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good Sunday. Rest of the Sunday.
And yes, it's okay to watch the football game. Just don't make it your...